It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. The city of Sitka will take over management of the Blatchley Middle School swimming pool from the Sitka School District. At a special budget meeting on Thursday, the Sitka Assembly unanimously agreed to assume pool operations at a time when the school district is struggling to contend with uncertainties surrounding state funding. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Managing the Blatchley swimming pool will cost about $350,000 a year. But Finance Director Melissa Haley said the city had already accounted for some of that. Around $120,000 was already earmarked for the pool in next year's budget as part of the school funding package. But covering the full cost could free up some resources for the school district at a time when state funding is in flux.
So they could use some of the contribution that we're making up to the cap for teachers instead of having to use something to fund the pool. It maintains an important asset for the community and the schools. And then with the synergy with the Parks and Rec program, there is potential to grow that the revenue from what it has been.
But Haley added that a pool is a higher risk asset, and taking it on increases the city's liability.
You know, we're adding on another expense when our growth is, I think we're maybe not plateauing, but we're not seeing the same growth we have in the past few years. So, and our expenses keep increasing.
And it would be a lot of work for the city's Parks and Rec Department to assume pool management. The city would take over maintenance positions currently supervised by the schools and add an additional full-time and part-time position to manage the facility. Assemblymember J.J. Carlson cautioned that the transition would take time.
But I don't want to see the headline tomorrow be the city takes on the pool. It's going to be open July 1 for all of the community. I would hope there'd be some sort of understanding in the community that this is more than just a budget talk. There's a lot of operations that need to change hands here.
Parks and Rec coordinator Kevin Knox agreed.
We wouldn't want to try to get that FTE in there as soon as possible, an aquatics manager or pool manager, and have them certified and trained up as quickly as we can. But we have some options there, but it is going to be a heavy lift.
Despite those concerns, Finance Director Haley said the pool could be a source of revenue for the city. She conservatively estimated it could bring in around $100,000 a year. Assemblymember Scott Saline wondered if it would remain affordable to the public.
35 years ago, be $2 to go swimming, I don't know, I'm just curious. If they say revenue stream, I'm thinking, well, people aren't going to be able to afford to go swimming every day if they're seniors and they got $2,000 a month coming in. And If it's going to be $12 or $15 to go swimming every day, I'm just curious.
The assembly unanimously approved taking over pool operations. They also agreed to direct $125,000 to the school district to support management of the Performing Arts Center, leaving them with a general fund deficit of just over $500,000 to contend with. To shore up some of the difference, they found other areas to cut. They trimmed a proposal to hire 4 new firefighters down to 3, saving $100,000. They also voted to remove a request for a full-time circulation manager at the library from the budget, an $80,000 cut. And they removed a large snowplow from the budget, around $77,000. The additions and subtractions got the assembly closer to where their general fund deficit was before they agreed to take on the pool. Mayor Steven Eisenbeis said their work to balance the budget wasn't done, and he hoped they could chip away some more at the deficit at the next budget meeting on April 18th.
Plastic recycling just got a little easier in Sitka. On Friday, the city's Public Works Department announced that number 5 plastic will now be accepted, in addition to number 1 and number 2 plastics, and all of these plastics can now be placed in the same container. Bree Gable is the city's sustainability coordinator. She says the city sells recycled materials to offset the cost of solid waste processing, and that more recycling translates to savings for Sitka's solid waste management.
So after doing a lot of number crunching, we now know that recycling costs about half as much per ton as typical unrecyclable waste.
Gable says the goal of the change is to make recycling easier for Sitkins.
These changes, we hope, will make it easier for people to recycle effectively and correctly in hopes that we can see that number that we ship out as recycling goes up and the number we ship out as unrecyclable waste goes down.
Number five plastics include yogurt containers and straws. Starting last week, corrugated cardboard and newspapers can also be recycled in the same container. Juno's 2024 cruise ship tourism season is just around the corner as the first ship of the year, the Norwegian Bliss, is slated to arrive Tuesday morning. Last year, the capital city saw its busiest season ever, welcoming more than 1.6 million passengers. But what will this year look like? KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
Last summer was a busy one in Juneau, to say the least. On the busiest days, the capital city welcomed upwards of 21,000 cruise passengers. Juneau's tourism manager, Alex Pierce, says this year likely won't top last year's record-breaking season. She expects to see about the same number of passengers.
I think it will run a lot more smoothly and things will be better. Generally, our tour operators know what to expect. They know what kind of volume to expect, and they're gearing up and getting ready.
In a survey conducted last fall, about 64% of Juneau residents said they wanted to keep tourism volume about the same or reduce it slightly. But some major problems did crop up during 2023's record season. Things like heavy downtown congestion, the Mendenhall Glacier reaching its tour capacity, and business owners saying it was just simply hard to keep up. One big change this year for controlling the traffic will be a new limit of 5 large ships per day. During a tourism panel on Thursday, Renee Reeve, a spokesperson for Cruise Lines International Association Alaska, said that agreement with the city will be key to flattening growth in the coming years.
I think what that shows is industry's commitment and CBJ's commitment to making this place somewhere that visitors want to visit and somewhere that residents want to live.
And an even bigger change could be coming in 2026. Pierce says the city is in the early stages of negotiating with cruise lines to limit the number of passengers that come off their ships each day.
The best thing that we can come up with are daily passenger caps to keep our numbers relatively flat or decreasing a little bit. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of these things come to fruition and then seeing how it feels in terms of passenger volume and numbers and what that means for us as a destination.
Last season, cruise ship passengers spent a total of $320 million in Juneau, according to a report that came out last fall. To support that economic boost, it's estimated that more than 3,000 people in Juneau worked jobs that were directly related to tourism. Local tour operators faced a tough situation after they sold out on bus trips to the Mendenhall Glacier halfway through the season, which meant more tourists stayed downtown. This year, the city plans to send extra buses to follow the city buses that carry people out to the glacier to handle the overflow. Pierce says local operators are also trying to balance their permits over the season to reduce congestion on buses and downtown.
They're offering more city tours that go to other sites where you can see the glacier from elsewhere. So they're trying to pick up that volume in different ways.
In April, about 1 to 3 ships will port in Juneau per week, before ramping up to 3 to 5 ships per day by the latter half of May. Ships will continue to port in Juneau nearly every day before winding down in late October. And as tourism kicks up for the summer, residents can send in their complaints and concerns to the city's tourism hotline. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Trident Seafoods has officially finalized the sale of its facilities in Petersburg to E.C. Phillips & Son, Incorporated. Both companies announced in mid-March that they had entered into negotiations for Trident's processing plant, bunkhouse, galley, and 2 housing units in Petersburg, but they didn't cinch the deal until Wednesday. According to an updated press release, Trident CEO Joe Bunrund said that the company sought buyers who would, quote, share Trident's values, take great care of our fleet and employees, and integrate themselves into the community, end quote. Bunrund said E.C. Phillips & Son met those criteria, making the company, quote, a great fit for Petersburg. Representatives from E.C. Phillips & Son did not respond to a request for comment in time for publication, and Trident Seafoods declined to comment further on the sale. Trident announced in December that it was selling four of its Alaska-based plants in the wake of turbulence in the Alaska seafood market. The details about how the sale might affect the upcoming fishing season are unknown, but Trident's press release said Petersburg's fleet might enjoy a longer season under the new banner. That's because E.C. Phillips and Son has year-round seafood processing operations. E.C. Phillips and Son operates out of Ketchikan and Craig and was established almost a century ago in 1926. At their regular meeting on Monday, Petersburg's Borough Assembly passed an ordinance to assign Trident Seafood's lease at 301 Harbor Way to E.C. Phillips and Son. The reassignment was conditional because the two companies were still in negotiations at that time. The ordinance passed unanimously with all present Assembly members in favor. I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News.